The Morning Brew is brought to you by West Rock Coffee.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet
Let's get it on.
Yeah, I do have emotion, and I am sad. And to be honest with you, I'm sad for the whole Gruden family, okay? Not just John. But at the end of the day, we're all accountable for our actions. And that's how we have to look at it.
Rise and shine. First on the Morning Brew today, Mike Mayock feeling sorry for John Gruden and being the spokesperson as the GM for the Las Vegas Raiders. This is a very difficult story all around. I'm not going to say that I feel sorry for John Gruden. Certainly don't. He's responsible for his actions. Troy, my question is, why in the hell is Mike Mayock thrown out in front of everybody? Where's Mark Davis?
And typically you don't see owners speak ever in the NFL.
Jerry Jones is on his own radio show every week.
He would be the anomaly.
Settle down just a little bit.
Mark Davis should have spoken yesterday. Clearly he has anger toward the NFL. He feels like they forced him to force Gruden out. I mean, I don't know what other result was going to happen here. The NFL would have suspended Gruden had the Raiders not been pressured to take action. And Gruden technically resigned, but he would have been suspended indefinitely and or, you know, banned from the league at some point, I would assume, as the NFL would have taken action. So, difficult situation. Mike Mayock now is 51% in charge of everything. Before it was Gruden, 51%, Mayock, 49%. We'll see what they can make of this season. Again, sometimes teams will rally around a situation like this. Guys who didn't like Gruden, which there were several on that team, then maybe this will allow them to play with more freedom and play better. But very awkward situation, and I do think Mark Davis should have spoken yesterday because he had the relationship with Gruden. He was the reason Gruden was there.
He definitely needs to speak. He's getting about $65 million back in his pocket to hire the next coach. He needs to speak. Next on the Morning Brew.
He's a wide receiver in a tight end body, and he's big enough to play tight end, do the blocking that they ask him to do, be a regular tight end, but he's talented enough, fast enough to run wide receiver routes. He's a special talent, one of the special players in this league.
Darren Waller is a problem. Vic Fangio knows it. Everybody in the NFL knows it. Troy, how long are we going to go through this in the AFC West where, okay, this week it's Darren Waller, right? Then when Kansas City comes in, it's Travis Kelce. And then rewind the clock to however long back you want to go, it was Antonio Gates, right? The Broncos are always having to defend a tight end. That's a big, big problem. But they never seem to have that offensive benefit on their side of the ball. What are they going to do with Darren Waller on Sunday?
Well, they do have Noah Fant. It's just one of those weird things. If you want him to catch passes, you have to target him.
Before the fourth quarter,
Before the fourth quarter, yeah. It's hard to have a tight end produce big numbers when you don't throw him the ball and use him to block and chip as a decoy in an offense that's already missing K.J. Hamler and Jerry Jeudy. That said, with Darren Waller, whatever you saw as the game plan against Mark Andrews, throw that out. Zone coverage against him. They had Justin Simmons against him. It didn't work. Mark Andrews had a field day against the Broncos. I mean, you've got to look to me with Darby back, and Ronald Darby will be back this week. I would bench Kyle Fuller for Darby. But if you have them in nickel and dime, I would try to use Patrick Surtain on Waller at times and bracket him. Bracket him. Because of his size and length, have Surtain with him and then bracket him on the backside. Instead of trying to go safety coverage, man, bracket him. And because you've seen it with Waller, his targets one week are 19 and the next week it's 9 or 10 because teams take him out. And I think that's how but you have to be careful because of Henry Ruggs on the other side. If you decide to bracket and you use the safety to slide over to Waller's side, then Henry Ruggs is going to run the 9 route. And if he gets by the corner, there's no help. That's the danger and why the Raiders can be so explosive, because they have arguably the fastest guy in the league, and Henry Ruggs are top five, and Waller underneath. So you have to pick how you're going to address that. But you cannot just play soft zone against Darren Waller. He's going to have 10 catches, 170 yards, and a couple of touchdowns.
No, it's almost like having somebody that can stretch the field on the outside makes a difference in your offense. Huh. Imagine that. Put John Brown on the field, Broncos. Next on the Morning Brew.
Here's a chance for Kirby Dock again, and this time it is stopped once more by Darcy Kuemper. Two of the best scoring chances in this period have been for Kirby Dock, and therefore two big saves for Darcy Kuemper of Colorado.
Nice debut for Darcy Kuemper last night as the Avalanche really take care of the Blackhawks. No doubt in this one with a 4-2 final, but two goals in the first 6 minutes, a 3-1 first period, and they hang on for the 4-2 win. What did you think about the goaltender in his debut?
You know, when you look at his stats with Arizona last year, it doesn't jump off the page. I think he had a losing record, but Arizona wasn't very good. And hockey people that follow it more closely than I do just really like the fit with Darcy Kuemper. And they, you know, as much as I like Philip Grubauer, in the playoffs, he never had that moment, that defining moment where he just won a game for him 1-0, 2-1. Not like, you know, like Andre Fleury, he would have those games, especially against the Avs over the last couple of years. And that was a kind of a missing component as you're talking about a Stanley Cup championship team. Chad, once in a while, the goalie has to stand on his head. And can Kuemper do that? He just feels like it might fit a little better. It's way too early, and it's one night, but you can see why they liked him. You can see why they liked the fit. But I got to see it when it matters. I mean, that's the crazy thing about this Avs team is there's going to be moments during the season, but we're not going to really evaluate the addition of Darcy Kuemper until the playoffs. Let's be honest. This team is built for one thing, to win a cup. And we're going to look back on this season, determine whether it was a success with Kuemper, on how he plays in the playoffs. I mean, for me, I don't really need – I know he's going to play well in the regular season. How could he not with this team?
Grub was a Vezina finalist last year, but he also faced the fewest shots in the league, right? I mean, let's be real about it, right? I'm not going to say Darcy Kuemper is the be-all, end-all, but like you said, people who follow it closer than we do consider it to be an upgrade. No indication that that is not the case through one game last night. Avs a 4-2 winner. Next on the Morning Brew.
Don't believe that I'm retiring. Don't believe that, you know, I'm going to give up this game for a vaccine mandate or staying unvaccinated. Don't believe any of that. Like, really be aware.
Don't worry, Kyrie. I don't believe anything you say, so it doesn't really matter to me. Kyrie Irving, not going to play for the Brooklyn Nets this year. Honestly, I mean, I'm a big basketball guy. Those of you that have listened to this station over the last 20 years know, you know, the NBA is in my blood and I've done a lot of work with them. I don't think it matters at all for the Brooklyn Nets title hopes. And, you know, Kyrie, enjoy your time off.
Yeah, I would disagree. I don't know that they can win the title without him. He has become, for me, he's just a little bit eccentric, kind of the Kanye West of the NBA and how he approaches things. And I respect people that, you know, that stand on certain and support certain causes. But at times with him, it feels like he's a contrarian without a cause. And
that's now, exactly what he is.
and now with this, it's like, what's not a, it's not an anti-vax it's not the anti-vax that he's standing against. It's that he's trying to support people that are getting forced to get vaccinations. My point would be, you're on a team, and James Harden came to that team because of you. Kevin Durant came to you. And now what are you doing to those two guys? And because I would guess that Harden's going to leave after this year. It's just, it throws everything into chaos in a team sport. You do have the freedom of choice, Kyrie, but that freedom is coming with consequences, and it's really affecting the team and the future of Kevin Durant and James Harden with the Nets.
That's the Morning Brew every morning at 6:30. We'll check in with DenverFan.com's James Merrillat next.